while I was studying to be a priest, I had the opportunity to travel with a Catholic international aid organization to see the work that they were doing on the ground, and in the hopes that I would one day talk about their work and promote them. So, check. Done. But we went to Egypt to see that the work that they were doing there, and Egypt is a really interesting country when you look at demographics. 90% Muslim, 10% Christian, 2% Catholic. Very small minority there. But at the same time, it is a secular state that respects both religions, and that only goes so far, right? There's still lots of tensions and everything else. And so, you know, we didn't get to go to like all the fun touristy locations, the Valley of the Kings. You know, there's not a whole lot of humanitarian work going on with dead people in tombs. But we went to these tiny little villages throughout Egypt where they were working, and one of them in particular had a history of violence. There was a Christian minority there and a large Muslim population, and the kids went to school together, and as you can imagine, as kids do, playground fights and other things like that would break out. But in that kind of culture and situation, it didn't end there. The parents would get involved, and then families would start fighting against families, and it would end up in murders and deaths and just this awful violence that ripped through the land. And so this aid organization comes in to try and help establish peace. And they started in the most unusual way. They formed a soccer league for the kids. And they didn't differentiate Christian from Muslim when they put together teams. It was just all mixed, and they had them play soccer together. And after a while, the kids realized, hey, this guy ain't that bad. I enjoy playing soccer with them. And they started to bring around their parents and their families to see, these are people too. Yes, we have our differences, but this kid plays soccer, and I play soccer, and I like playing soccer, and I like him. He ain't that bad. And then we were able, when we came to visit, to sit down in a room with the imam and the priests and all of these leaders of the community in one room, having coffee and tea together and friendly with one another. And it's amazing how that little step of a soccer league changed everything. They started to see each other as people again, as human beings, and it made all the difference in the world. Today in our gospel, Jesus addresses it very bluntly, the way it's introduced. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. I don't know how you can hear that and not be put off a little bit. But if you take a step back and look at the culture in which we live, there are plenty of those people. And perhaps some of us fall into that trap on occasion ourselves. You don't have to look very far right now to see people convinced of their own righteousness and despising everyone else. I dare you to turn on the television before election season. It's despicable. It's disgusting. Yes, we have different viewpoints on how to solve problems, but the attack ads and the mudslinging and everything else, we're treating these people like they're not even people anymore. We're not engaging issues or discussions on trying to fix anything. We're just trying to tear down other people because we're convinced of our own righteousness and despise those evil others. How awful it is. Jesus holds up to us today the tax collector, a man who walks in and prays at a distance and knows that he needs God's help. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's able to engage others after recognizing that. But the Pharisee who looks down on everyone else because I'm better than them, he will not receive the salvation of God because of his own inability to acknowledge he needs it. He thinks he has saved himself. And brothers and sisters, all of us are sinners. Every single one of us. And I know we especially are at this parish because I hear 8 to 9 hours of confessions a week. We know our need for God's salvation. We recognize that we're not perfect. But does that bring us to compassion for those around us, Or do we have that attitude, well, I'm here and they're not, so they must be worse. Or stay away from them, they're a bad influence. This own attitude creeps into our own parishes far too often. What about the poor that live in the downtown area in which we come to worship, in which we live and work? How do we look at them? When you see a homeless person outside the church, what's your first instinct? They're dangerous? They must be a drug addict, or they're a drunk, or don't give them anything, they'll squander it? That's not the attitude of Christ. Christ came into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. Christ looked upon the crowds who gathered to hear him, and he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart was moved with pity for them, which is a terrible translation of the Greek. Esplanknes then, literally, his guts were wrenched with pity. He felt it in the depths of his being, that he wanted something better for them. And before he died on the cross, in his high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John, he prays, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. He came to heal what was broken through sin, our relationship with God and with one another. And original sin is a thing that affects every single one of us except for the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you think you're on her level, this gospel is for you. None of us is without sin. So much so that the church for hundreds of years has mandated that every Catholic must go to confession at least once a year, preferably around the Easter time. I don't know about you, but I can't make it that long. I'm going a lot more than once a year. Probably not as often as I should sometimes too. We're all sinners. We all need the mercy of God. And when we can acknowledge that in ourselves, we can start to look on other people with the eyes of Christ, with eyes of compassion, desiring that they be freed from the same pain and death and broken relationships that we seek when we go to confession. Instead of looking at them as dangerous or other, we see them as human beings made in the image and likeness of God, fallen and in need of His grace, just like myself. Then we can start to love. You know, going back to that example of politics, I think almost every politician or person who's trying to make policy or whatever is doing it out of a sense that they think there's something wrong and they're trying to fix it. They're trying to make the world a better place generally. We disagree on how to do that a lot, and there's room for discussion. But can we at least acknowledge where they're coming from? They've been hurt. The people they love have been hurt. They see communities that are hurt, and they want to fix it, even if they're going about it the wrong way. Can we look for that common brokenness in each of us that needs to be healed and work together instead of adding to the division and the hatred that is present in our society? You know, I look at our own parish, and we have a wonderful parish, I think, that really encapsulates the church. We've got the Latin Mass and the ordinary form and the Spanish Mass and the poor right here in our community. And this is what Christ meant to be, that we would all come together, regardless of our differences, to worship Him and receive His healing grace. How do we talk about the other people in our parish even? Oh, those Latin Mass people, or oh, those Hispanic people. Even then, depending on the words we use, we can build up these barriers instead of tearing them down. Instead of looking at the lowest common denominator, that we are all human beings made in the image and likeness of God, seeking Him to the best of our ability. What unites us goes far deeper than what divides us. And the world is divided enough, more than enough. We need to start, as the liturgy invites us to, by recognizing our own need for God's salvation. We start every Mass with a penitential act. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. We say it out loud. We beat our breasts and we say, Lord, have mercy. Only when we recognize that can we even come close to approaching what comes next, to receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And what did we say in the consecration with the same words of Jesus? This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We all need it, brothers and sisters. And instead of pushing people away or adding to division, we should recognize what we have received ourselves and desire that for others. Desire that they would come to know the salvation of our God. Desire that they would know the mercy and the healing that can be found in Jesus Christ. But if we convince ourselves that we've got it all together, we can't even receive it for ourselves because we're not open to it. We're not open to what God wants for us. Brothers and sisters, as we humble ourselves before the Lord to come forward today to receive what we could never merit on our own, what we have been blessed to know in faith in Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist today, may we take that feeling of humility with us to go and look upon the poor, the broken, the misguided of this world with a desire that they receive the same, that they come to know the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about some shallow kumbaya, let's all hold hands and pretend that everything is fine kind of attitude. Father Aaron and I are not about that. But we can recognize their pain, their need for salvation, and journey with them to the truth that we find here in the gospel and in Jesus Christ our Lord, that there is one Lord, one Savior, one way to heaven, and it is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. May we reach out with compassion, praying that every human being may come to recognize that and come to receive it as well, so that we can truly be one again, one in the love of Christ, made in his image and likeness as it was always intended for from the beginning. God has given us so much when we have deserved so little. May we be truly humble and grateful and desire to share that with others.